Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness. Let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and we're talking about peace. We've covered love, we've covered joy, and now we're going to talk about peace, and we're going to continue to go down through the line. And so let's just read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It's at the top of that page right there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we're going to jump right in, and right at the top of your page there, the first blanks that I want you to fill in is this. Peace can be defined as the ability to remain calm even when life is not. Remain calm. Peace is the ability that the Holy Spirit gives you and I as believers that other people don't have at your job, when a stressful situation comes up, when something breaks down, when something goes wrong at home with your children, your car breaks down, you have the ability to remain calm even when life is not calm, when everything else is going wrong outside. And we just came through one of the craziest years that you could ever possibly imagine. But I'll tell you what, I had peace in 2020. I've had peace in 2021. Other people have said 2020 was a terrible year. For me, 2020 was a great year. You know why? Because when you have peace and you can remain calm, even when the situations around you are not calm, you can go through a year like 2020 with a smile on your face and realize, I have the peace that passes all understanding. I have joy that is not determined by my circumstances or by my situations. I know that I am loved by God, and I can extend the love of God because I have the fruit of the Spirit. So peace can be defined as the ability to remain calm even when life is not. Have you ever known somebody like that? And I would venture to say that if you know somebody that you've seen in their life that even when things are tumultuous, they remain calm, you probably admire that person a lot. If I think about people that I admire in my life, one of the reasons that I admire them is the fact that even when things get difficult, even when things don't go their way, they have the ability to not freak out, overreact, lose their mind on somebody, give up, quit. They have the ability to remain calm and to move on into what God is calling them to be. So in situations where everybody else is freaking out and you know, losing their mind, we have the ability to control our demeanor. And it makes me think about this. When Jesus was sleeping in the boat while he was with his disciples and a storm arose, he was laying in the middle of the boat, and the Bible says that the winds and the waves begin to blow and they begin to crash, and so much so that the disciples began to fear for their lives. That's how bad that storm was. And they were freaking out, and they were thinking, we're going to die. Where was Jesus? He was sleeping in the stern of the boat, just laying there. Bible says he even had a pillow. He was laying on the pillow and he was out. You know why? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He wasn't controlled by the storm, right? He had the ability to remain calm even when the sea was vicious and threatening. But when the disciples woke him up and they said, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown? Like, we're about to die. They were so upset. They were so worried. He looked out over the waters. What did he say to the waters? Peace. Be still. Because he had peace within him, he was able to command peace even to the circumstances that were outside of him. And you will never overcome the things outside of your boat if you don't have peace inside, which comes from the Spirit of God. Because when the Spirit of God is living in you, working in you, producing fruit inside of you, you have the power to command the storms of life, be still. Peace, be still. And there's some people that have been going through the same storm over and over and over again because you have not risen up inside of yourself enough to use the fruit that the Spirit of God will produce. Or maybe you haven't been walking in the Spirit and having that fruit produced to stand up and say, peace, be still. And until we rise up and we command peace, and even today I was at home with those three precious children back there. Aren't they wonderful? And Pastor Madison had to take Judah to a checkup because he just turned 8 years old and the doctor was checking him up. Well, Bo and Bethel just were at each other. You know, like brothers get sometimes, they were at each other. And finally, I was reading this passage, and this is how this came to me, is I said, I've had enough. I'm going to command peace in my home. I said, boys, get in here. And I said, I looked at him, I said, peace, be still. I thought if it worked for Jesus, it's going to work for me. And I tried it. And you know what? They went in their room and played for over an hour, and I never heard from them again. And they were fine. You need to learn to command peace into your situations. Peace doesn't mean that storms won't come. You see, in fact, if you look up Merriam-Webster's Dictionary of Peace, it basically says, that it's a life without problems, or that's the essence of it. I don't have the exact wording, but it's basically a time without war. It's a time without trouble, but that's not what peace is, biblically speaking. Peace, biblically speaking, doesn't mean that everything is going your way 100% of the time. And the problem is that there's too many people that their peace is determined by what's happening outside their boat. But peace for me and for us as believers is because of what's happening inside of us, not because of what's happening outside of us. So peace simply means that in the middle of the storm, you'll remain calm and confident in the fact that God is your provider, your protector, and He is faithful to see you through the storm. So I want to ask you something. I have a question. Your next fill in the blank there. This is a challenging one. This challenged me here. You ready? Are you a storm starter or a storm stopper? Because Jesus was a storm stopper. But some people that don't have peace walk around and start storms for people all day long. Amen. When people see you coming down the hall at work, when you walk into the grocery store, when your spouse gets home from work, do they think, oh no, here comes another storm? Or do they feel peace come over them? Are you somebody that, like the disciples to Jesus, somebody could call on you and you could command peace in the situation, or are you just going to add to the chaos and to the confusion? Because what if Jesus would have woke up and started freaking out with the disciples? Oh my goodness, guys, what are we going to do? I almost wish He would have just played a joke on them and just freaked out. And He started going, God, please help us. But He was able to stand up and command peace. So are you a storm starter or are you a storm stopper? Because when the Spirit of God is producing peace in you, there's the authority and there's the confidence to walk into the middle of a tumultuous situation and command peace. And you need to understand this. The atmosphere of your home is your responsibility, especially men. You are the priest of your home. And the atmosphere of your home is your responsibility. And even wives and mothers, when your husband is not at home, it doesn't mean that all hell's got to break loose every time that the man leaves the house. You can command peace within your home, okay? The atmosphere of your home is your responsibility. So that means that if there's chaos and there's confusion and there's arguing and there's bickering, it's simply because there's an absence of peace. And we need to command peace within our home. So at work, when people encounter you, are you a vessel of peace or are you a weapon of warfare? Are you starting storms or are you stopping them? Do you create storms or do you dispel them? Jesus was a storm stopper. Why? Because He had peace. Didn't mean the storm wouldn't come. It meant that when the storm came, Jesus knew what to do, even in the midst of the storm. There's another time where Jesus put His disciples in the boat, sent them to the other side. A storm arises. They start freaking out. Here comes Jesus. What? Walking on the water. Why? Because He had so much peace that He was walking on what they were fearing. He was walking above what they were fearing. And because when we have peace, we're not controlled by the situations of the world and of this political thing and that governmental thing and that economic thing. We have the peace of God. Amen? So determine within your heart when storms of anger, confusion, greed, pity, gossip, worry, lying come my way, they will stop with me. When those storms come, because at work or at home, when you encounter other people, they're going to come at you with their storms are going to try to come to you, and you have to determine and say, no, this storm stops with me right here. I'm not going to allow this to happen anymore. So Peace, again, does not mean absence of storms, but rather it means that you have what it takes to outlast the storm. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, I have told you these things. Why? So that in me you may have peace. Where? In me you may have peace. Showing us that lack of connection with Jesus, lack of connection with the Spirit of God will result in a lack of peace in your life. He said, I told you this so that you can be in me, and in me you can have peace. But in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Some translations say, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In other words, here's what Jesus is saying. I want you to have peace, but I want you to understand that the peace that I give you is not to deter storms from coming, but because the storms are coming. So that you can have peace, and you can have authority even in the midst of the storm. You see, having peace doesn't mean that I live in a trouble-free zone. Because he said tribulations will come, but I told you these things so that you can have peace inside of me, so that when the storms come, you're not taken out by the storms, but rather you take out the storms, okay? So that during each and every trial and tribulation, you can remain what? Calm and quiet and confident in who he is, okay? Here's the next blank you can fill in. Peace is the reminder that he has already won the war. Peace will remind you, because when you remember that Jesus said, I have already overcome the world, that gives you peace to understand, and it reminds you anything I'm facing, he's already defeated it. So that's the reason that I can stand up now and say, peace be still, and have confidence and authority to command things and situations and problems and people in my life to stop and to leave me alone, and I can have peace in the middle of it, is because he has already told me that I can have a good attitude, I can be of good cheer, I can take heart, I can keep my head up, because he has already overcome the world. So he told us, he's saying this, I'm reminding you of the fact that I gave you peace, and you can remember that I overcame the world when tribulations and trouble come your way. So peace is the reminder that he has already won the war. One of my favorite definitions of the word peace comes from the Greek word for peace. You have the definition there for you on your paper so that you can make reference of it. But here's the definition broken down. It's three words. One, quietness and rest. Peace means one. It's the word irene in the Greek. One, quietness and rest. And the one I want to point out to you is the word one. Because to have peace is to be in oneness with the Spirit. If we're not in oneness with the Spirit, we cannot have peace. But when we are having oneness with the Spirit, we will always have peace. So, because you have to remember this, we cannot fabricate nor manufacture any fruit of the Spirit. We can't just, and that's where the world gets so wrong, because the world thinks to have peace is to have the absence of problems. And that's the only time the world ever experiences peace, is when they're not facing a problem. But the believer has peace regardless of whatever it is that we're facing. But we cannot fabricate nor manufacture that peace. And so anytime you find yourself lacking peace, you must realize this. Somehow or somewhere, you've walked out of the Spirit. Because the word peace means one. It means, and to me, that means to be in unity with the Spirit, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you go beyond the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5:25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. And that word walk, we've talked about this before, it means to remain in sync with, to be in step with. And so what I see in this is your next blanks that you can fill in here. Is if you can walk in the Spirit, then you can walk out of the Spirit. If you can walk in the Spirit and have oneness with him and find peace in him, you ever wonder, well, if I'm filled with the Spirit, and why are there times when I don't experience peace? It's because you walked out of the Spirit. Because in the Spirit, he'd be producing peace inside of your life, just like Jesus had peace in the middle of that storm. So, I want to make this clear. It's not that the Spirit of God left you, okay? Spirit of God won't leave you. It's that you somewhere decided when he was leading you this direction, you chose to go another direction. Because if you can walk in the Spirit, you can walk out of the Spirit. But let me let you in on a little secret here. You ready? Life is astronomically better in the Spirit. Amen. It's way better walking in the Spirit. And I know that you know that, but I believe that He gave us the fruit of the Spirit, not just to make our lives better and more beneficial, but also as a reference for whether or not we are walking in Him. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, is a reference point to show us if we're walking in the Spirit. Because sometimes, have you ever wondered, am I truly walking in the Spirit? Here's how you know. Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? If it is, you're walking in the Spirit. If it's not, you're not walking in the Spirit. And so sometimes you're left wondering, am I walking in the Spirit? Am I in sync with Him? Take a look and see. Am I loving? Am I joyful? Am I peaceful? Am I patient? Am I kind? Am I good? Am I faithful? Am I gentle? Do I have self-control? If you answer yes to those, you're walking in the Spirit. If you answer no to those, you're not walking in the Spirit, because fruit is the evidence. How do you know? I mean, for someone like myself that's not terribly familiar, you know how I know that an apple tree is an apple tree? If it's got apples on it. If it doesn't have any apples on it, it could be peach. It could be pear, it could be plum. I probably don't know, because I just don't know my trees that well. But you know how I do know if something's an apple tree? If it's got apples on it. And it's the same way with our life. The way that we know if we're walking in the Spirit is, am I producing the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, all these things. I love what John Bevere says. Don't judge motives, judge fruit. Don't judge motives, judge fruit. I want to explain that to you a little bit. Because so often we judge ourselves by our motives. Okay? Here's what I mean. Well, I want to be a good person. I want to be kind. I want to be peaceful. I want to be more generous. I want to be less selfish. I'd like to be more passionate for God. But those are all motives. Okay? Just because you have a good motive doesn't make you a good person. But when you follow through, and motives are great. You need good motives in order to get good results. But don't judge yourself by your motive. Why? Because the proof is in the root. Because there will be no fruit unless there is a connection to the root. So don't judge yourself by your motives. Examine yourself and be honest with yourself. Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in my life? If it isn't, beat yourself up real good and let condemnation just do you real bad and just get down. No, don't do that. If you find yourself not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, not walking in the Spirit, repent and move on. Just get back up and keep going. Don't let condemnation beat you up. Don't let shame rip you down. Don't let it ruin your life. Some people let one moment of wrongdoing ruin their entire life, because if you don't get up from one failure, you'll stay a failure. But you never truly fail if you get back up and you keep trying. So He wants to give you a life of peace. He wants not just to give you a life of peace. He wants to give others peace through your life. He wants you to be a carrier of peace. Here's how I know that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Jesus said, "What blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." So He doesn't just want you to be a peacekeeper. I've talked about this before. There's two ways to look at being a peacekeeper. One, I keep my peace to myself. Or two, I'll do whatever it takes just to keep the peace. And peacekeepers, here's the thing. I've talked about this before, but some of y'all weren't listening, so I'll just have to say it again. It doesn't say peacemaker or peacekeepers. It says peacemakers. Peacekeepers never truly solve a problem. Why? Because they do whatever it takes just to suffice for a momentary fix. Let's just try to keep the peace. You ever had somebody like that in your life? Let's just try to keep the peace. What they're really saying is, let's not get into this. Let's not work it out. Let's not talk through this thing. Let's just, everybody quit talking. Everybody act like you love each other. Maybe that's what family reunions look like for you. I don't know. But where it's just like, let's just keep the peace. Please don't bring up politics. Please don't bring up, you know, what they did 20 years ago. Let's just keep the peace. But peacemakers will do whatever is necessary in order to have reconciliation. And that's why God refers to peacemakers as sons of God. Because Jesus was the Son of God. What did Jesus do? He made peace between God and man. He brought reconciliation between God and His creation, who had been separated from Him because of sin. And so when we bring peace into the life of others, we are fulfilling our responsibility as a child of God. I'm going to go through this quickly, but in Romans chapter 12, Paul wrote and said, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with who? All men, everybody. That should be a goal of ours as believers, to have peace. Make every single effort that you can to have peace with others. So, all right, I've got 5 minutes because I want to be done by 7:30 because I know that having children in here for you parents is, thank you. I just want to say thank you. But I want to give you some scriptures regarding peace. These are on your page, and there's some blanks to fill in here. You ready? We're going to go through these rather quickly. Number one, peace brings stability. People that don't have peace are unstable. They're always, their emotions are roller coasters. They're up one day and they're down the next. But peace will help you to have stability. Listen what it says in Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. What is that saying? They have stability as they walk. And it goes back to the Word of God. Listen, I'm a firm believer. You cannot have peace if you are not active in reading and studying the Word of God. Because yes, it's the fruit of the Spirit, but one of the ways that we feed and fertilize the fruit of the Spirit that's in our life is the reading of the Word of God, okay? He said, great peace have those who love your law. What did David say in Psalm chapter 119 as well? He said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, it brings stability to my life, but peace will bring stability. If you're somebody that emotionally you're high and then emotionally you're low and you get mad easy or you get sad easy, you need the peace of God in your life, because peace will bring stability so that when the waves come, Jesus was doing what? He was walking on the water. He had stability even in the midst of a situation that humans don't have stability. You and I can't walk on water. Why? Because it's not stable. We would sink right to the bottom, right? If we tried to walk on water. How many of you guys remember when you were a child, you tried to walk on water? I did. I tried to run it. Maybe it's just because my dad was a pastor. Maybe I'm the only one. That's what we did in the pool. We didn't play sharks and minnows or Marco Polo. We played, can we walk across the pool, right? And we would fall in every single time. Why? Because there's no stability. But Jesus, because he had peace, was able to walk where no man was able to walk. And Peter, as long as he looked at Jesus, was able to walk on the water. Why? Because he was looking into the eyes of peace. But as soon as he looked at the waves, he began to sink, right? So peace brings stability. All right. The second one is this. This one's huge. We must allow peace to govern our hearts. So allow and govern right there. We must allow peace to govern our hearts. Colossians 3 verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Okay. The word let, actually, if you read this in the Greek, let and rule are actually together, okay? When it was translated, they broke it up differently in English, but let and rule, it actually would read like this, and let rule the peace of God within your, like, and the peace of God let rule. That's what it is. And the peace of God let rule in your hearts. So let rule for us is two words, but in the Greek, it's one word, and it means this, to act as an umpire or to govern. Okay, you remember, you ever see, you know, a baseball umpire, what's he doing? He's calling balls and strikes. He's calling outs or safe. He's umpiring the game. And that's what peace is supposed to do inside of our heart, is go, no, that's a ball. Don't swing at that because that's not the one that you want. You want to swing at this one that's right here down the middle. And so we need to allow peace to govern our heart. But here's the thing. I love how it says let, okay? Because that would imply that we have to allow it to happen. Because peace isn't just going to come in and take control. You have to allow peace to take control in your life. Allow peace to umpire. Allow peace to govern. Allow peace to say no to this and yes to that. Because it knows the peace that God is bringing about and producing in your life knows best what you have need of. It knows better than you even know yourself what you need. So that's why we can allow peace to govern. And I love what it says in the book of Isaiah. You will be led forth by peace. As you have peace. When Pastor Madison and I, when we're trying to make a big decision, you know what we do? We ask for God, show us, where's your peace at? What do I have peace about? If it's between two big decisions, do I have peace regarding this decision or do I have peace regarding this decision? Because peace is governing our hearts. As it says in Colossians, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it govern your heart. Let it act as an umpire inside of your heart, okay? All right, here's the next one. Peace dispels fear. It gets rid of fear. Fear and peace cannot coexist. You'll either choose fear or you'll choose peace. So if you let peace govern your heart, you won't be governed by fear. But if you let fear govern your heart, you will not have any peace. Okay? John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. This is following the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, why? For fear of the Jews. Okay? They were hiding because they were afraid of the Jews, because Jesus had been killed on a cross, and he told them he was going to rise again, and then he'd actually risen from the dead, and so they're scared that the Jews are going to come after them. And it says, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. What did he say to them? Peace be with you. Right? Verse 20 says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Listen to verse 21. So he said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Peace will dispel fear. Jesus confronted the fear that they were facing of the Jews with peace. It was a common greeting amongst Jewish people, and I think it should be a common greeting amongst us again. Peace be with you. You can find it, if you look up this phrase, peace be with you, it's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Almost every epistle said, may the grace and the peace of our Lord be multiplied to you, or would it be with you? It was a common greeting, and Jesus wasn't just saying it out of habit. He said it because he knew they were living in fear, and he knew that the antidote for their fear was peace. So it says he said it to them, then he said it to them again. Why? Because that peace will drive away any fear that's in your life. Okay, here's another one. Peace will protect our hearts. Peace is, in fact, I didn't put this scripture on there, but if you go over to the book of Ephesians, one of the parts of the armor of God is shoes of the gospel of peace. What does armor do? It protects you. Right? And so he gave us shoes of the gospel of peace to protect our feet. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will what? Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So peace is like a soldier that has been stationed at the gate of your heart that says, no, you can't come in here. You're not going to transgress upon the heart of this believer. So peace protects our hearts from anything that the enemy, the world, others tries to throw our way. All right, I'm going quick. I'm sorry, I'm already out of time. Two more. We should strive to be at peace with everyone. Okay? As Paul said earlier, I talked about in Romans chapter 12, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Well, if you go over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it goes further than that. And it says, strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. We always say without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But we throw away the fact that peace is put in the same exact passage. And I think he's saying without peace and without holiness, you're not going to see God. Why? Because blessed are the peacemakers, because they're what? They're the sons of God. So what would that imply of those that are not peacemakers? They're not sons of God. Anyone that is a child of God should long to be a peacemaker and should strive for peace with everyone, not just the people that we like. Okay? Here's the last one. God's peace is different than the world's peace. Amen. We've talked about this already a little bit. If you look up, actually, I want to read to you Merriam-Webster's definition for peace really quick. Give me one moment. Freedom from disturbance. That's the world's definition of peace. Freedom from disturbance. God's definition is one, quietness and peace and calmness. It doesn't say anything about storms not coming your way. It doesn't say anything about tribulation. In fact, Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have tribulation, but I told you these things so that you can have peace despite the tribulation. So God's peace is different than the world's peace. The world's peace is the absence of problems. It's tranquility. But Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Listen to this. Not as the world gives you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So what do? We let them be governed by peace, and we don't let them be afraid. Because he said, I'm giving you a different kind of peace. The world's peace is based upon freedom from disturbance. God's peace is the fact that even in the midst of disturbance, I'm not going to be disturbed, but I can stop the disturbance. Where the world's peace is interrupted by disturbance, in the kingdom, disturbance is interrupted by peace. Okay? So we have power over the storms of life. So are you a storm stopper or are you a storm starter? Are you walking in the fruit of the Spirit, which is bringing peace inside of your life that is not determined by having a bad day or by what someone said to you or someone did to you or did not do to you? Peace is determined by what's happening on the inside. Amen. Bow your heads with me tonight. Father, I just proclaim the peace that passes all understanding over each and every one of your people tonight. God, I thank you that Jesus came to give us peace, not as the world gives, but he gave peace unto us that would pass all understanding, that would grant us the power and the ability to have oneness with you, calmness, quietness, even in the midst of a turbulent situation. Lord, I pray that this week we would exude peace everywhere that we go, on our jobs, God, in the marketplace, in the community, in our neighborhoods, Lord, with our family members. I pray that we would be peacemakers. Lord, and I just want to say this to you. Sometimes when you say, I want to be a peacemaker, you have to realize you're signing up for problems. Because you can't have a peacemaker without a problem. There has to be peace that needs to be made in order for you to be a peacemaker. And so, God, we just say right now, we want to be people that are carriers of your peace. We don't want to be selfish with it, but we want to carry your peace every single place that we go. Lord, we honor you tonight, and I just say, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.